I want to once again extend a warm welcome to all of our friends and family and guests. We are one of the 10 regions of the New York City Church of Christ that is meeting throughout the New York, New Jersey metropolitan area. And we call ourselves the Westchester region. And so we are thankful to have you worshiping with us today. Our theme for the year has been Shine, and I have extended it to Shine in 2019. So we're going to be talking about that today because there's always room for us to grow and to glow. And so we want to consider how we can live better lives to God's glory and make a difference in this world. And it's all about giving honor to our Creator. It's not about our personal glory, but it's about lifting Him up so that the world can see Him and prayerfully find salvation through Him. So let's pray together. The title of our sermon today is Shine Like Stars. We're going to be looking in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. So let's pray together. Our God and Father in heaven, thank you for the opportunity to know you, the opportunity to know Jesus, who is the light of the world. And Father, that we can find guidance and direction and hope through him. We live in a world that is dark. We live in a world where so many are aimless and do not have an eternal purpose. But we praise you, God, for having redeemed us out of a dark world and having brought us into the light and into a relationship with you where we know why we're here, we know what our purpose is, and we know that you've set aside eternity for us to be with you. Bless our time together today. Help us to consider individually how we can grow in Christ. We pray in his name. Amen. Shine like stars. What we're talking about today. And I'm going to read a scripture that I think is helpful to all of us wherever we are in life. Paul, from a prison cell, most likely chained to a Roman soldier or to a wall, wrote some of the most encouraging words ever written. Some of the most challenging words, in my opinion, considering his circumstances, that we need to study and apply to our own personal lives. I'm not sure if Paul realized that one day this letter that he wrote to the disciples in Philippi would be shared millions of times with others who followed Jesus. But here we find ourselves striving to imitate his faith and his attitude, even in circumstances that are so much less challenging than what he faced. And so in Philippians 2, beginning in verse 14, he says, "Do everything without complaining or arguing." And we could stop right there. We could preach a seminar on Philippians 2:14. We could do a marriage conference on Philippians 2:14. We could do a parenting workshop on Philippians 2:14. We could do a singles seminar conference on Philippians 2:14. Are you with me today, church, to put into practice Philippians 2:14? He says, "So that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault, and a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe. As you hold out the word of life, in order that I may boast on the day of the Lord that I do not run or labor for nothing. But even if I'm being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. Paul is telling these Philippian disciples, he says, I want you to have the right heart and attitude toward God and toward life, so that when I get to heaven, I can boast about your spiritual walk, your faithfulness, your commitment to the Lord God. And so we're called, and what we're going to talk about it today, to not just shine, but to shine like stars. And Jim Brown could very easily give you all the scientific information on the billions of stars, which the number just keeps increasing. You know, 400, 500 billion, it just keeps increasing. But one thing I know about stars that needs to be applicable to our lives is that they never stop shining. They're always shining. You don't go turn the star off. We don't turn the sun off. It's always shining. May not feel like it in here today, but it is shining. And so we're told to shine like stars. Now, let's see if we can get this. You know, I'm always having trouble with this thing, so there. My magnetic personality is causing all kinds of havoc with the technical stuff. Is that we got that fixed? We're good? All right. So you see the stars here, and as the stars light up the sky, God wants his people to be the light of the world. As the stars helped sailors to navigate their journeys, we are to help people navigate through life. People need to see the light of Jesus shining in us. And one thing I want to impress upon every Christian today, your life counts. Your attitude counts. Where you work, where you live, what you do as a disciple of Jesus makes a difference, because God has called you to be light to the world. And sometimes we lose that understanding, and we just come to church and we think that, hey, it really doesn't make a difference what I do or what I don't do. And I'm here to tell you, you're wrong. That your light needs to shine bright, because there's someone's life that you can touch that no one else can touch. And God wants to work through us. And so here in the scripture, I want to make three quick points. Prayerfully, they will be quick. I haven't preached in a while, so I don't know. Number one, do everything without complaining. And the church said, number two, be blameless and pure. And the church said, and then finally, hold out the word of life. So let's talk about doing everything without complaining. Do everything without complaining. You know, one of the first scriptures that we got our daughter Christina to memorize was Philippians 2:14. Do everything without complaining. And she's a pretty smart girl, and she got it. She learned it real quick. But the real challenge was putting it into practice. And the Amplified version says, do all things without grumbling and fault-finding and complaining, and I love it, puts it in there, against God, and questioning and doubting among yourselves. You see, sometimes we can take a scripture like this and we misapply it. And he says, well, that means you should never complain about anything. Like if the heat doesn't come on in your apartment, don't complain. Just, you're paying rent, you're paying for, don't worry. No, you need to complain. I mean, you go to the restaurant, your food comes back cold, or they don't give you the order that you ordered, and you go, I'm a Christian, just eat it. No! You say, this is not what I ordered, and this is cold. Take it back, right? I mean, you pay for professional service, you expect what? You expect professional service. So he's not talking about these little things that are always occurring in our lives, and we think, well, we should never expect excellence. We should expect excellence. I expect excellence from the AV team. Excellence. But what is he talking about then? He's talking about our attitude. He's talking about our attitude toward God. Because sometimes in this life, things don't work out the way we planned. Sometimes we get hit with challenges that were unforeseen. Sometimes we find ourselves struggling in ways that we never thought we would struggle. Sometimes we find ourselves, as Paul found himself, treated unfairly in a prison for doing what was right. And he tells us, in my situation, I challenge you to do everything without complaining. Don't complain against God. Because God may be using that situation to give glory to him. He may be using that situation to refine your faith. He may be using that situation to open the door for someone else to become a disciple, which is what happened in Philippi when Paul and Silas were thrown in prison. The Bible says they began singing and praying, and because of their disposition and their faithfulness, the Philippian jailer and his household were brought to Jesus. What is your attitude when you face life's challenges? Are you a grumbling spouse? Stop it. I mean, it's like, well, this is not what I hoped for. Then you change you. Stop grumbling. There are a lot of scriptures on that. I mean, Solomon wrote these proverbs, and he had a whole lot of wives. And he says, better to live in a desert than with a quarrelsome and ill-tempered wife. He said, I'd rather be outside and in the street, in the desert somewhere, than to live with an irritable, complaining woman. He said it. Proverbs 21:19, you can go and read it for yourself. I think the same thing applies to husbands. Are your children whining children? God is saying you need to help them to be thankful. Thankful for their parents. Thankful for the family that they landed in. And what Cynthia did with our daughter is she made her write a list of 100 things to be thankful for. Maybe we all should do that from time to time. So we can remember that even in those challenging times, we have so much more to be thankful for than we have to complain for. Are you griping on your job? Are you an unhappy employee? God is saying to you, you're not thankful for the job I gave you. And if you don't like the job I gave you, pray for a better one. But until then, you be the best employee you can be to the glory of God. A thankful attitude. And see, what God is seeing this as when we're ungrateful is that you're unthankful toward him. He wants us in every situation to shine like stars, to show him our appreciation. And to not become people who are always complaining. Because complaining is not good for you spiritually. And it definitely doesn't make the gospel attractive. You're going to have a hard time getting anybody to want to imitate your faith or follow you as you go toward Christ if you are a negative, critical, complaining individual. If you're just an unhappy person, why should I want to go to church with you? I have enough trouble on my own. But if we know how to work through our situations, God possibly can use us. So what's wrong with complaining? Well, just real quickly, it can sap your strength and steal your hope. And that's what Satan wants to do. It takes a lot of energy to be a complainer. You got to think about it. Work on it. It's a lot easier to be joyful and happy. It can lower your resistance to sin. Because you start thinking, hey, life's not working out. And Satan just comes right in there, takes the opportunity. It can make you want to go backwards, which is what we saw with the Israelites. Instead of moving forward with gratitude, we go backwards in our walk with God. And we don't become stronger and stronger. It can bring others down. Who wants to be around negative people? You just bring the whole house down. You know, if you weren't invited to a Super Bowl party today, why not? Why didn't they invite you? I don't know. You think about it. It can shorten your life. Man, you don't live as long, and you definitely don't live as well when you're a complainer. And it can keep us from receiving God's blessings. You know, the Israelites, God had a plan for them. He wanted them to go into the promised land. And he sent those spies into that promised land, and they came back with a favorable report. It says the land, it flows with milk and honey. And they brought back its fruit, and it was amazing. But because of their faithlessness and their lack of trust in God, they said, we can't do it. And they began to complain to the people, the leaders did, and then the people started complaining until the point where God got so upset with them because they were ungrateful for where, I mean, he brought them through the Red Sea. They'd seen the plagues, the 10 plagues. He brought them out of Egyptian slavery and captivity, and here they are complaining. I think that's the way God feels when we complain sometimes. Man, I brought you to salvation. My son died on a cross for you. I sent people into your life to rescue you. And there are people who have counseled you and prayed with you and tried to help you. And you got reason to complain? Come on! You lost your mind? God's been so good to us. And here they are complaining. And they didn't receive the blessing. I just got part of it here. It says for 40 years, the Bible says for 40 years, 1 year, for each of the 40 days you explored the land, you will suffer for your sins and know what it is like to have me against you. That's a scary scripture. I mean, they explored the land for 40 days, and God said for every day that you explored that land, where I showed you how great it was, you're going to spend a year walking around the desert until they all died out. And then God raised up a new generation. Well, you might say, well, Sam, I don't say much. But, you know, indifference can be just as bad as grumbling. It's just like, I'm just indifferent. I'm not committed to it, and really, I'm just kind of in the middle. Well, there's no middle. We're either progressively moving toward Christ, trying to advance the kingdom, or we're not. Our facial expressions communicate our attitude probably even more than what we say. So, well, how do you feel about it? And your face will tell us the truth. When our children hear us grumble about church-related issues, we open the door for them to turn away from God. Sometimes we think, well, it really doesn't matter what I say or what I think. Oh, yes, it does. You know, I've gone through some challenging times in the ministry, some challenging times as a disciple, but I will never tear down the church or church leaders in the presence of my children. And if I have an issue, I need to go talk to Kevin Finnerty about it. And not talk bad about him to my kids. There's a story told of a young couple who invited their preacher over for Sunday dinner. And while they were in the kitchen preparing the meal, the minister asked their son, says, what are we having for dinner? He said, goat. He says, how do you know? He says, because I heard my parents say, today is just as good as any day to have the old goat over for dinner. Some of you didn't get it. It'll come to you later. But we've got to be careful what we say. I mean, do your kids see that you love God and you love His kingdom and you love God's people? No, not that we're perfect, but that you're thankful to be saved. I'll tell you right now, we are imperfect people, but we serve a perfect God. And we're all saved by grace, and nobody's better than anybody else. And it's an honor to be a part of the Westchester region of the New York City Church of Christ. I'm thankful to be here. And I'm glad God put me here. Right? And that's what I want people to see in my heart, is that my blessings far exceed any struggle. And that when I complain, the complaint is against God. Do everything without complaining or murmuring. Secondly, he says, be blameless and pure. I'm going to hit this real quick. Be blameless and pure. And the Message version puts it this way. It says, go out into the world uncorrupted, a breath of fresh air in this squalid and polluted society. Provide people with a glimpse of good living, of the living God. Carry the light-giving message into the night. You know, Joshua and Caleb were the only two of those 12 spies to get into the promised land. And it's because of their attitude and their faith in God. They stood out. Because while others were whining, they were shining. Do you shine when your convictions are on the line? Do you shine when you're being tested? Do you shine when others around you are not that positive? And that's why God blessed them in such a great way. They were blameless. And God was able to work through them. I want to share one of my favorite scriptures with you today. You know, when I started memorizing scripture, the first chapter of the Bible I memorized was Romans chapter 12. And I went on and tried to put some books to memory, but I started with chapters first. And Romans 12 was one of the first chapters. And here in Romans 12 and verse 17, when you're talking about attitude, it says, do not repay in verse 17, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written in his mind to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, do what, church? All right? If he is thirsty, do what? Give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. That is shining like a star. You know, sometimes we think, well, someone did me wrong, I'm done with them. That's it. But he says, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. It's like we had a conflict and you brought me a meal? You brought dinner over? What's wrong with you? I'm trying to just obey God. And he says, if your enemy, if he's thirsty, he's talking about your enemy, not your friend. Give him something to drink. This is not easy. At our Thanksgiving party this past November, the staff, we have a little Thanksgiving party. And it was a staff meeting. And at this staff meeting, I just said, let's just share things we're thankful for. And one of the sisters who is going through a very difficult time, I mean, her husband is not doing well spiritually. She got married as a disciple. And then her husband became a disciple. And of course, her dreams were, we're going to live happily forever in Jesus. It's going to be great. And we're going to bring our kids to the Lord. We're going to bring people to the Lord. But along the way, he lost his way. And there she finds herself in the most challenging of circumstances. And she stood up and she said, I'm so thankful to God. And I'm thankful for this church. And I'm thankful for this person who studied the Bible with me. And she said, because what she told me when we studied was never compromise. She said, when you become a Christian, you must make a commitment to never compromise. And she says, I'm so thankful for what she taught me, because now I find myself in difficult situation where people around me that I care about are no longer committed to Jesus, but I've decided to hold on to what I was taught to never compromise. I will not compromise my faith. I will still come to every church service. I will still read my Bible and pray every day. I will still share my faith every day. I will still be a committed wife, no matter what anybody else does, because I've been taught by the scriptures and by people that have helped me to have no compromise. That's being blameless. Sometimes we excuse ourselves when someone else close to us begins to waver in their faith, or they're no longer doing well spiritually. And being blameless is to do the right thing even when others don't. Do you hear me this morning, church? They're not your standard. Jesus is. And you shine brightest when you're doing the right thing in a difficult circumstance. I don't want to hear your complaints, but I do want to see you shine. We can all come up with something to complain with. Oh, man, my job. Oh, man, my health. Oh, man. I mean, we could have a big pity party here today, and there's someone who could come up with something darker than what you have. And some of us, we should have the reputation that when we see you, we know you're coming grumbling. I mean, if you were one of the seven dwarfs, you would be grumpy. Be blameless. Do the right thing even when leaders don't. Well, my church leader, so? You meet the Lord, he's not going to bring up your church leader. He's not going to mention me. And I'm not going to mention you. Maybe I'll mention Cynthia. Lord, you know Cynthia was with me. To be blameless, do the right thing, even when you don't feel like it. Who wants to feed the enemy when they're hungry? Who wants to pick up the phone and call that one person that you didn't have a good interaction with the week before? and to let them know I'm praying for you. That's letting your light shine. Sometimes the Spirit tells us, send them a text, send them an email, and we quench the Spirit. We go, they don't deserve that. When they repent, yeah, then I'll reach out to them. That's not being blameless. You know, God is watching. That's what really should count. And you need to do not be overcome by evil. But overcome evil with what, church? So do some good today. Do some good this week. And finally, what does he say? Hold out the word of life. Oh, it came up there. Good, good. Hold out the word of life. And, you know, what I take this to mean is that in every situation, put the word of God out there. Have the word of God in your heart and on your mind each and every day. The Amplified Version again says, holding out to it, offering to all men the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may have something of which exultantly to rejoice and glory in, that I did not run my race in vain or spend my labor to no purpose. Hold out the word of, you know, how do people even live without the word of God? And we need to have the word on our hearts each and every day. You know, I was in the gym the other day, you know, and I'm in the gym, I'm not trying to be like the super religious guy, but when situations come up, I use scripture. You know, I use Robert Brace taught us. You know, hey guys, it's great to be here, but you know, the Bible says physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things. And they go, that's profound, as if I came up with it. And people are watching. As a matter of fact, I was in the gym the other day and I saw a guy. He didn't look too good. He says, man, I need to talk to you. And he pulled me aside and he says, I need you to pray for me, because my wife and I are getting a divorce. We've been married almost 20 years. I don't know what's going on. And so I called him up later that week and we prayed on the phone, and I've been trying to stay in there. But he came to me because he knows when he talks to me, he's going to get some scripture, right? Now, on the job, the Bible says in Proverbs 22:29, do you see a man skilled in his work? He will serve before kings, not before obscure men. I mean, it's like we need to use the word everywhere we go in conflict. You know, when people are trying to get you to help them with their marriage, it says, I got a scripture for you. Proverbs 15, verse 1, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. You know, if someone is trying to argue with you and you continue to give them a gentle word, eventually they'll run out of steam. I mean, even if they come at you really angry, you go, God bless you. Jesus loves you. I'm so sorry. Yeah, but you're nothing. I know. I understand. But I'm still here. I'm not going anywhere. And you keep bringing it down. See, because you can only stay. Now, what usually happens, we go, what? What? You don't talk to me like that. And then it goes back and forth, and boom, 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 and then it gets. But if somebody just stays down, everything will come down. A gentle answer turns away wrath. You learned something today, didn't you? Put that into practice. In stressful situations, use Philippians 4, because we're all going through stress, right? Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I mean, we're not holding out the word of life. And that's what we need to do everywhere we go. And no, we don't have to be super religious, but it's in our hearts. You know, Colossians says in Colossians 3, verse 16, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, with what in your heart, church? with gratitude in your hearts. We sing the Scriptures. We teach the Scriptures. We pray the Scriptures. We share the Scriptures. Are you doing that with your spouse? Are you doing that with your roommates? Are you doing that with your children? Hold out the word of life. Are you doing that with your coworkers? Are you doing that with your neighbors? Is the word of Christ in your heart and in your mind? This is how we shine. We put the word out there. You know, I was quoting a scripture the other day, and a brother said, "Man, that is great poetry." I said, "That wasn't great poetry. That's Psalm 103. I mean, it's like, he didn't know, but he said, "That's just great poetry." Well, the Bible can be great poetry, but it's more than poetry. It's a light into our path. Hold out the word of life. Let's share it with one another. You know, as we think about it, in this room today, people are facing challenges. In our dark world today, there are people looking for answers. Brothers and sisters, let's shine. Because somebody is going to want to lean on you to get answers, to get hope, to get direction. And no matter what that outward appearance may seem to be, we all hit places and times in our life when we don't have the answer and we want to know where to go. And we need to shine like stars so that we can point them not to us, but to Jesus. You know, I saw a special the other day on ABC News. I wish I could show you the video, but you know, you heard a couple of weeks about the avalanche that, and a couple of young men lost their lives. And one of them decided to, he was 22 years old, and he'd written on his card to give his organs for a donation. And they showed the scene in the hospital where his family and all the doctors and all the nurses were lined up against the wall as they pushed his body toward the operating room, getting ready to share his organs because his death now was going to give life to other people. And they called him the person of the week. The person of the week. I want to challenge you. Through your sacrifice, through your attitude, through your disposition, can you be the disciple of the week? The disciple of the week. Could you be the one who loves someone who's unlovable, forgives someone who's unforgivable, to reach someone who seems to be unreachable, to be courageous in a situation where you're challenged to be fearful? Shine like a star. Give your life away. Do everything without complaining. Be blameless. And hold out the word of life. And ask God to work through you to touch someone else's life. May God give us the strength to do it. God bless.